Well, good evening, folks. So, have you guys all dug out your flip-flops and shorts? So, when it hits 50, grandkids keep saying, "Hits 50, we get to wear shorts at school." Okay, catch a draft. All right. This is not a prayer request, but in case you're wondering, did you get new ones? No. Somehow between here and home and getting ready to leave, can't find my glasses. I think I'm going to go garbage can diving because it was pretty close to the edge. So I don't know what I'm going to find. Probably everything but money. So I had to dig these out. So have to figure out where the folk in focus is at. Okay, so we are going to, as a group tonight, avoid sin. That's like a good idea. Okay, yeah, it's easier said than done, right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for living illustrations that we can learn from. We can learn from others' mistakes so we don't have to turn around and do them ourselves. And we're all capable of making bad choices. And we see here tonight, David made more than one. And he'd been a believer for a number of years. So none of us are exempt. And we can be tempted no matter who we are, how old we are, or anything else. So we need to be alert. And as we say here, avoid sin. We thank you for how you'll guide us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so he starts out saying God's word is truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. All right? I don't know if any of you had to set on jewelry or something. but he points out the fact that God's word is true. It's accurate. He doesn't just tell us the good stuff, you know, so we have this picture of everybody just, you know, squeaky clean. Everybody does everything right. How would that make you feel if everybody in here did it all right all the time, and you didn't measure up? Then none of us would, right? The last time I looked, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners, okay? All of us walking around today, tomorrow, last several thousand years, you know, we're all sinners. And you know, what do sinners do? Sin. Okay? We may not set out tomorrow morning to sin, but before the day is over, we might actually do that, all right? But as he mentions here, you know, God gives us pictures of people, warts and all, the good, the bad, the ugly, okay? And he mentions here about different people that we hold up as, you know, kind of the super saints of some kind. Noah, but Noah got drunk. Elijah had a lapse in faith, got depressed. Peter denied the Lord how many times? You know, before the... And it wasn't that the bell came on or he lit up. It was the cock crowed and he goes, uh-oh. Yeah. And, you know, so you got people that have been and would continue to be used of the Lord, but they fell from time to time. And he mentions here about David. The only one that we hear more about in Scripture than David is that of the Lord Jesus. And so there's a lot written about David. You know, we're told some pretty awesome things. The fact that he's a man after God's own heart. And, you know, he's the king of Israel. Jesus is going to sit on his throne. And yet David is, like us, capable of sinning. And he did. Why don't you turn with me, this is not in your notes, but to 1 John. 1 John. You know, we probably all know 1 John 1:9, right? Okay, we might get there in a minute, but does God want us to sin? No. And we may not want to sin, but we can, and we do. God's realistic. He didn't paint this picture that, you know, is impossible for us to sin. You know, sometimes people get a little mixed up. They get, oh, well, you sin, you must not be saved. Saved people sin too. What's the difference? Right. And our Christ's blood deals with that, all right? He says there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, okay? He's talking to believers here. They're God's kids, all right? He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not, okay? God doesn't want us to sin, just in case anybody wondered. But, what does he say? And, if any man sin, oh, so see, there is a possibility. And I'm not making light of sin. I just want us to realize that, hey, if you sin, you're not the only one out there that's done that. Mark?
It also states that when you confess your sin, it is forgiven, for it fires the east is from the west.
Right.
That means it's remembered no more.
God's not going to bring it up.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, we will bring it up. Who else was going to remind us? Satan, yeah, you dirty, rotten sinner. You you sinned way back there, and you're still sinning. But he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate, okay? This is kind of like a lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation, big word, but it means a satisfactory payment, okay? He is a satisfactory payment for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, okay? So, and then it's backing up. If we sin, we don't just whitewash it. We don't try to come up with a fancy name that, you know, everything's got another name other than what Christ or God's word calls it, you know. Alternate lifestyle. Do you find that in Scripture? No. Male and female, not the other 42 or whatever they're talking about today, all right? But it says, if we sin, we need to deal with it, and there's a right way to do it. And when we recognize it, that it, we've sinned, so we need to deal with it. Don't put it off. Don't wait till next month's communion, because you're going to forget about it between now and then. 1 John 1:9 says, if, that's the big, you can circle if, because that's the big conditional thing. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. However, if we don't confess our sins, you know, God takes a little different light on it here. But he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice verse 10 too. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Because God's word says that we've all sinned. And we say we haven't, then you're calling God a liar. You think you know more than God does. He knows better. Okay, just kind of establish that. So even though 1 John wasn't written, in David's day, David was smart enough, been educated by the Lord enough to know that there was a right and wrong and what he needed to do if he sinned. Okay, so it says there's three things, three requirements. We won't get into all of them here today, but three requirements to avoid sin. Now, again, more than that, but here's three that are in this passage. He says, remain remain busy doing God's will. I know sometimes work is a four-letter word to a lot of people. And it's, work? What? You want me to do what? Well, God created work for Adam to do and Eve and everybody else along the way before they fell into sin. But he knew knew that we needed something to do or we're probably going to get into trouble. You know? Parents know that with their kids. You know, they got all day long and nothing to do. They're going to get into trouble, right? So that's why there's such thing as God's will for your life. Find out what it is that God wants you to do, okay? And not everybody's a pastor or a missionary or a Christian day school teacher or some, you know. And, but there's still, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do today? If we're doing what God wants us to do, he's not going to guide us into sin. But if we're not even thinking about what God wants us to do, we're kind of wide open to suggestions that come along the way. And we find that's kind of what David was. He had too much time on his hands. All right? And so 2 Samuel 11, verse 1, says, it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. David's supposed to be leader of the pack, but he decided he's going to stay home. They've somehow figured this out, that David's about 50 years old now. As my mom used to say, old enough to know better. Okay, but he's 50. He's not some little, he's not some teenage kid. He's not, and they didn't have all the different generations that we talk about today, X's and Y's and so on. But he'd been king for 20 years, all right? Do you remember offhand how many wives, at least that we're aware of, that David has at this point? Remember, he started out with Saul's daughter, Michal, and that kind of got messed up. And Saul gave her to somebody else, and David takes her back, and she makes fun of him, and You know, he didn't want nothing to do with her anymore. Okay, so, but it's still his wife. Is there, can you think of another? You remember Nabal? And Nabal dies. And he takes Abigail as his wife. So he's got at least one functioning wife, and I'm not how to describe Michelle or Michael, however we say it. Okay, but he's got roving eyes, and okay, so, and like you said, most likely David, like us, never really intended to sin, but he found himself in a position where he was tempted. Folks, we're all tempted. Jesus was tempted. What's the difference between us and Jesus? Yeah, he chose not to sin, and sometimes we choose to sin. We're tempted. It works. That's why Satan keeps doing it, okay? And he falls, he or his minions have followed us around long enough to know where our weak spot's at. He's not going to tempt us in some area that we're not, you know, interested. He's going to tempt us in an area that we're we're vulnerable in. Okay, so they're saying, you know, David should have been out in battle or at least out there with the men, and he wasn't. He's sitting at home, twiddling his thumbs, nothing's on TV, computer's broke, so he's out on the roof. Somehow I get the idea that the roof of the palace is maybe higher than everybody else's house. Got a tickle here all of a sudden. Hope that's not a premonition. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Okay, you've probably heard that one before. Well, he starts looking around and he's seeing stuff that he really didn't need to be looking at. Okay, sometimes you may see things that you think, ooh, I didn't need that. But the question is, what do you do after you see something that you know you're not supposed to be looking at? Do you, do you get out your glasses and bifocals and whatever else you got available and keep looking on at it? He sees a woman. I don't know if she's got the bathtub up on top. We don't know. We don't have any details, but he sees her, and there, verse 2, it says, it came to pass, eventide, David rose from his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look on. Well, he started looking and kept on looking, and I wonder who that lady is. Is looking sin? Okay, it can be. Okay, if she's on the roof and she's got her clothes on, is it wrong for him to look at her? No, all right? But the only lady he ought to be looking at who doesn't have any clothes on is his wife, not somebody else's wife. And so, who is this woman? So, you know, it's, they didn't have the white pages or, you know, whatever that people look up, try to find out who's who nowadays. Verse 3, and David sent and inquired of the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Okay, that ought to have been the end of story. It's somebody else's wife. Okay, not only should David not be ogling, whatever they say, taking too long a look at somebody else's wife because she's married. How about David? David's married. You know, that's forbidden fruit. It's somebody else's wife. You go look at your own wife, all right? But he wasn't satisfied with that. And so sends a messenger out there. Verse 4, sent a messenger, took her, came in, and she came into him. I mean, we don't know how much convincing it took on her part, but, you know, in those days when the king says, come to my house, you probably didn't argue an awful lot. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her own house. I wrote something down here. If you don't start something, you don't have to worry about stopping. And I kind of use that same thought pattern for other areas that people are tempted in. You know, if you don't start drinking, you don't have to worry about needing to stop. If you don't start smoking, you don't have to worry much about coughing up a lung. Okay? You don't start dabbling in drugs. You know, you don't have to worry about am I going to stop before I get hooked and die? And, you know, you can take this to whatever issue it might be, but we got to know when to put the brakes on. And as he points out here, something else I wrote down here is that you may not be able to control what pops into your mind, but you can control what you choose to keep on looking at or thinking about. Okay? In Philippians chapter 4, it gives us quite a list of things that we can be thinking about. Think on these things, he's saying. You know, not the neighbor's wife or husband or whatever the case might be. You're flipping through the channels. I know the guys get blamed for that, you know, changing channels. And there might be something that comes across there that's you don't need to be watching. Well, you got a choice. Do you just leave it there and keep on watching? Or do you change the channel and go to something else, right? We have the same ability in our minds. We can change our minds. We can put something else in its place. We don't have to continually dwell on the wrong thing, okay? And do you think there was any doubt in David's mind that what he was doing was wrong? He may not put a lot of thought in it at that point, but he knew right from wrong. Okay? It's not that we don't know right from wrong. It's just that we choose to kind of ignore the wrong, you know? And he makes a suggestion here because, again, we don't have to go up on our roof and start looking around. Well, nowadays, that probably wouldn't do you an awful lot of good anyway, right? Chris goes up on his roof. He scoops snow and leaves and all kinds of stuff. But the only thing he sees up there is more trees and more leaves.
I have a peak experience with
bees. Oh, a peak. You're looking a little peaked there, boy. But, I mean, people can... do what David did in the privacy of their own home, okay? Whether the blinds are open or shut or whatever. I mean, it's unfortunate that all this stuff is so easily available, okay? But it's like anything else. It's television. I know some people won't have a television in their house. Is that necessarily going to keep your mind pure? No. I mean, there's good stuff on it. There's bad stuff. You got to make the right choices. Same thing with the internet. I mean, it's like having... Does anybody go to the library anymore to look up books? You go to the card... Do you? Do you remember the card catalog? You go in there and find that book and look it up and do your report? Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm satisfied that they don't get used an awful lot anymore because you can find out everything that's at the library, you know, at home. But because there's temptations there, all right, and because it's easily accessible, you know, he suggests that we put that verse up there on our screen from Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, that the work of them that turn aside shall not cleave to me. Okay, so basically, I'm not going to be looking at something that I'm not supposed to be looking at. Okay? And so that's one of the things that we can do. We have to guard our hearts, but we need to guard our eyes, you know, because eyes are good for a lot of things, all right? We can see some really beautiful sunrise, sunsets, mountain scenes, all kinds of stuff out there, turning leaves and everything. But, you know, we can be looking at the wrong stuff too. And he says here, God gives us warnings in verses 3 to 5. We've seen some of that. he goes to get, hey, who is that lady? Who is it that lives three houses down? Well, that's Uriah the Hittite's wife. Okay, that's a warning. All right. He didn't pay attention to the warning. I mean, it's like some people when they drive, you get down into Milwaukee, red lights don't mean anything. Speed limits don't mean anything. Yellow lines on the road don't mean anything. It's just, you know, yeah. And they're not all from Illinois. I used to laugh, tease about that. You know, you go to Illinois, that little lever on the left side of your steering wheels, you just break it off because nobody uses those anyway, right? Four lanes, just, whew, you know. But yeah, he gives us some warnings, but, you know, God gives us warnings too. And he should have taken the hint. Hands off, David, that belongs to somebody else, right? You're taking what doesn't belong to you. And the thing is, when our eyes get focused in on something, it's like our brains shut off or something, and we're all revved up, and we're thinking about stuff that we ought not to be thinking about. We're not listening, and we're just focused in on, you know, this is what I want. And, you know, it says that he sleeps with her. They always say that. It's not the sleeping that's the problem, all right? I know we're just trying to make it family friendly, but, you know, they have their relationship and he sends her home, okay? It talks about the fact that she was purified from her uncleanness, okay? Period's over. She's not pregnant at that point. But she is soon after that, right? And there's no guessing as to who's the daddy. Uriah's out of town. He's out fighting the battles. It's that guy up the street from here that's the problem. And so David, the king, he's not the priest, but he's still supposed to be kind of like a spiritual leader for the nation. You know, has provided some good leadership along the way. I mean, remember, he wanted to build the Lord the temple. Now he's bringing somebody in the back door. So, yeah, if he can fall into sin, folks, we're very capable of doing the same thing. I mean, isn't that what you hear sometimes from these people? Well, some of these shooters, they go nuts and they go to the mall and start shooting up people or go to a school or whatever. And then they start interviewing the neighbors. Oh, they were a quiet person. We never thought they'd do anything like that. Yeah, well, we can go bad on a dime, all right? And it doesn't take much. I mean, some people are looking for trouble, all right? I mean, it just kind of follows them around. Other times, it surprises people, okay? But I'm wondering if we should even get started. on this next section, the three-step process: attention, arousal, and action. I wanted to bring this just in close. I thought about running this off, but I wasn't so sure how edifying it was going to be. But when I got thinking about, you know, it was talking about porn, and it says, well, back up at the top of the page, it says, fastest growing addiction for men, even Christian men, is internet pornography. And the guy I thought of, and this is somebody that's been around a long time ago, but remember Ted Bundy? You know, and James Dobson interviewed him before he died or was killed. And he said, you know, that's kind of where he got started. It was pornography. And it grew. It was an addiction. You know, after a while, just seeing the pictures wasn't good enough. We got to find somebody else that we can do this with or whatever. And if we have to kill him in the process, well, you know, so be it. I don't know how many women he ended up killing before it was all over with. But he wasn't the only one. And the thing is entitled, "Is There a Connection Between Violent Crime and Watching Porn?" Another one was this Brian Mitchell. He's the one who kidnapped Elizabeth Smart, 14-year-old girl, and held her for a long time, 9 months. You know, and he was into porn, you know, and he made her look at it. And then, you know, this is what we're going to do. And yeah, that's not to say everybody that starts out with porn is going to end up being a violent criminal and going to be sentenced to the electric chair. But it's kind of like back when I said, what you don't start, you don't have to worry about stop. You know, and it's not just some scare tactic. Folks, you can do the old line down the middle of the page. Okay, here's all the positives of looking at porn. Here's the negatives. Folks, you aren't going to find any positives. Whatever you think might be a positive ends up being a negative on the other side. Okay? It may take a little while, but it's going to catch up with you. And I still remember, and, you know, I forget things, but I still remember the story. It was a professor was telling about, and at that time, it doesn't matter what seminary it was, but they were talking about pornography and stuff and at seminary. And this guy said, that stuff doesn't bother me. I'm immune to that. And so, you know, he kind of thought he'd make a self-test. And so he got into it. Well, needless to say, he didn't graduate from seminary. He lost his wife and family and everything before it was all over with. He wasn't near as tough and strong a Christian as he thought he was. Folks, that's Satan's getting his nose inside the tent. And pretty soon you're going to get addicted to this stuff, and he's going to own you, all right? And it's like cigarettes or alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, you know, it starts out with something kind of small and it's got a grip on you. That's why they give drugs away to start with. They want you addicted to it. Then they got you as a client for life, all right? And, okay, I got to quit telling stories here, but, okay, our kids went to Heritage Christian School over there on Highway 100 in Greenfield before it moved or whatever. And as I was taking them to school in the morning, I'd pull off at the Greenfield exit off the freeway. Right there in front of me was an adult, whatever. It didn't say porno shop, but adult something or another, you know. And this is, you know, this is like 30 years ago, so. And they had highlines over the top. And I thought, wouldn't that be something if you could somehow rig up an electric magnet that would just erase all the videos in the place? Well, now everything's on something else. That wouldn't work. But it's still there, you know? And I got a fence around it, and I kind of have to drive down that street to go to the mechanic that I use, you know? And I don't want anybody seeing me turn down that street. I'm pulling in here. I'm going down that road. But can you imagine what a parent must feel like if they live in that neighborhood and they know these people are up there getting all hopped up one way or another, looking at this stuff, and they come out of there, you know,
you're... And it used to be an auto parts store when I bought the house, then it became the video store.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
Yeah, and you just, it, and the thing is, some of the, well, it escalates, you know, and I'll just stop there. Maybe we'll talk more about it next week. It's not going to be all about porn next week, but it's kind of like the gateway drug, you know, it's the marijuana that gets people started, and it doesn't go away, all right? It's going to get worse, and like I said, it's an addiction, you know, people think, oh, I can take it or leave it. Well, they don't walk away from it. Satan, he hooks them and he knows how to reel them in, okay? It can happen to Christians too, so we need to be alert. We need to have our head screwed on and not bite the bait. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you even for telling us about David. You could have just kind of left that out. Think, boy, that's really kind of a black eye for the king. We'll just not put that in there, but no, you told us. It's reality. You know, he was old enough to know better. He's 50 years old. He was the one that went out and slayed Goliath when he was a teenager, you know, and sought to live for the Lord. And yet he fell. We can fall too. We may think we're big and strong spiritually, but Satan knows how to tempt us. And he knows just what kind of bait will make us to fall into it. Pray you guard our hearts and minds, guard our eyes, that we might not set our eyes on those things that we know are wrong, that would be displeasing to you, and that one sin leads to another. And we just pray you'd protect us from Satan's temptations, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.